Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 12th of April. Everything is becoming unlocked down and we are free to spit in each other's mouths. Welcome to the show, Luke Moore. Would you like a big kiss from me?
Chilling start for everyone,
chilling,
I think.
Start to
but
the show.
Mostly for me. You're such a punk. It's just such a punk. I just love punk music so much. I'm going to open the show by talking about spitting at people.
Yeah.
To be honest, Peter, it's absolutely pathetic.
Look, if it's not you, it's Margaret Thatcher. Oh, bloody hate Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Bloody Tories. Oi, oi.
Careful, Pat. That's a woman you're talking about there. What else do punk musicians hate?
They hate capitalism. Using locks correctly.
The capitalisms.
They hate capitalisms. They
safety
hit
pins.
Right in the air without a circle around it.
True. For anarchy, brother man.
They hate combs because it might disrupt their lovely Mohicans.
Speaking anarchy, Peter, you were once listed as, of the 8 hosts of the Football Ramble, you were once listed as the chaotic evil host.
Oh yeah, I'll take that. That's nice.
Weren't you? Is it chaotic evil or chaotic good?
Chaotic. I never know how those kind of charts work. What makes you? Because I remember when I used to go to a shop called Myriad in Hartlepool Town Centre to play some role playing back in the day next to people.
Oh, tell us more about that, Dawson.
Well, I got thrown out.
Steampunking.
I did not respect the dungeon master. Did not respect the game master.
How did that disrespect manifest itself?
Because he was a bellend, and I was.
On the other hand, you're doing role playing games. What do you expect?
We were playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Role-playing
amazing
game. I was an armadillo and he wouldn't let I just go alright then I didn't understand why he is the ultimate kind of authority on stuff, and I was going alright well I'm going to roll a d50 or whatever, see if I can fly out the bloody window. And he's like, no, I don't, no, you can't do that. We're going, well let me roll, see if I do it. And every time he wouldn't let me sort of fly out the window because I'm an armadillo and they can't fly.
Pete, what role does an armadillo play in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role play game?
I mean, you would think that he would be quite useful, a 17 year old armadillo, mutant armadillo. It'd be quite useful, wouldn't it? Because if you're surrounded by all
hard
of these kind
exterior
of soft,
shell.
Stodgy, yeah, exactly. You'd be like a kind of merc. You'd be someone who kind of braces the doorway so nobody gets shot or stabbed. You're the guy who'd sort of protect everybody because you've got a nice outer shell, as did the Ninja Turtles, presumably.
You started this story by saying we were talking about chaotic good and chaotic evil. I came up as like traditional evil, I think. But how does this refer to you and your days as a steampunk in role-playing game? Because steampunk is one punk you can get on with, isn't it?
Is there an Only Fools and Horses punk? There probably was a few kicking around because it was the 80s. I didn't respect it as authority, but I remember I was chaotic good, and I don't really understand how those classifications work. I'm sure somebody will probably email us about them. But
interestingly, my wife used to do spent a bit of time doing those kind of Dungeons and Dragons type role playing things. She revealed to me a few weeks ago. I didn't even really know it was a thing when I mean, we're pretty much the same age. I had no idea. We're the same school age. Yeah. I had really no idea that was even a thing. I remember Hero Quest. I remember Space Crusade.
Yeah,
enjoyed them, but that was never really seen, as far as I remember, as like a proper nerd thing where you could actually take it up to the max and do like actual proper role playing. And it became cool again, didn't it, because of Stranger Things.
Okay, did it?
Because they play it a lot in Stranger Things.
Did they? Right, okay.
And they made it seem really cool. And so, and I'm sure it is cool. I don't really know anything about it. But how did you even find out about this type of stuff? You go into this, this closed shop and you're playing, role-playing. I didn't even know it was even a thing that existed back in the 90s.
I think Hero Quest and Space Marines and stuff, they were like cut down very kind of W.H. Smith's versions of the stuff you'd get in the Citadel.
Your entry
shops.
Level.
Your entry level, kind of quite broad kind of entry point to funnel you into your Warhammer or your Warhammer 40,000. I think 40,000 was set in the future and Warhammer was very much set in the past, and I certainly preferred the early stuff. That said though, with the figurines, I did enjoy painting the Space Marines. They had some lovely blue colours.
Some of those paintings are amazing. I mean,
they're incredible.
So clever.
And it's probably quite popular with children because they've got very sort of they've got tiny hands and very sort of delicate. They can sort of get with it. I can't imagine any grown up with old eyes could paint them very well because they're so tiny. But yeah, didn't respect the authority of the dungeon master. I was chaotic good, and I'm not really sure where the chaos comes from. Where does it actually come from? I don't know.
How did it manifest itself then? You just got booted out and you weren't asked back?
Just got booted out. It wasn't asked back, really. I mean, and to be honest, I had a nicer time not doing it.
And were you introduced to it through a friend or did you just turn up?
I was introduced through a friend called Joel, who worked for the... I think he went on to work for the God Channel. He used to take me to...
a journey he's had.
He tried to convert me. He took me to like kind of Sunday, you know, like a Sunday school, but it lasts all summer. So right, a couple of summers, my mum and dad were absolutely cock a hoop that I'd been taken to some church for about 3 months. I just got brought back completely, and you know, just watching people singing songs like "Jesus is a Rock and He Rolls My Blues Away" on a out of tune Takamine guitar.
I like to think of you being actually the perfect, most traditional son before that 3 months. And then when you came back, it was almost like the birth of a supervillain. Yeah, we've got what we've got now because of that. That was the influence.
I've seen the other side of it. Well, I think my last kind of trip out with the church a lot was we went to the carnival on Seaton Carew where the beach is near Hartlepool, and I wet my pants and just just wet myself.
Went straight home.
Because everyone was on the waltzes and I was like, I can't, I really need a wee.
Right.
I thought it would be terrible and I would go missing if I ran to the toilets. But I just stood there and wet myself out of just sheer awkwardness. And that very much sums up me as a person, I would say. I would rather I'd rather defile myself than make a stink.
Speak up.
A stink.
I can see that. It reminds me of a story. I had a good friend growing up called Adam. And we ended up being friends, really good friends, till we were kind of 18 or 19 or whatever. We played football together. We were at school together. Anyway, there was a story that neither of us could properly remember or admit of when we were... Because we were friends. I think we went to like nursery together and everything. So I think we were friends when we were about 3 or 4.
Right.
And I tried to do the timeline, but I can't really work out which Star Wars film it would have been. But when I was about maybe 4 or maybe 5 or whatever, and he was the same age as me... one of the Star Wars films came out. Let's say it was Empire Strikes Back or whatever. And weirdly, for a small town on the south coast where I grew up, Gosport, across the harbour from Portsmouth, as you know, they had some kind of Star Wars-like event at my mum's supermarket of choice.
Right.
Which was called Main Stop, right? And it involved people dressed as Star Wars characters in Gosport in the 80s, early 80s, wandering around the supermarket. And I was there shopping with my mum and he was there shopping with his mum.
Yeah.
And my mum and his mum and me and him can never remember which was which, but one of us got so scared by the Darth Vader that we pissed our pants. But neither of us could remember who it was, so we'd always claim it was the other. So, yeah. I mean, I was very much scared of the... of Darth Vader from a very young age, and so I've definitely also probably wet myself in public on at least one occasion. So how old were you at the time when that happened?
I don't know, to be honest. I was probably about 7 or 8, I imagine. A little bit later than you would probably expect as someone who was going to urinate themselves. But it's when the social kind of fabric of my life kind of started forming and I became incredibly embarrassed and quite timid. So it was probably later than you would sort of want to be pissing your pants, to be quite frank.
And speaking of wetting yourself, have you wet yourself with excitement now that the pubs are open again?
I spent a weekend. I visited my sister and finally met my niece.
Oh, lovely!
Which is bloody lovely. Little baby Sophie. She's not that into me, to be quite frank. But,
right.
Baby,
she'll get there. She'll learn. She'll take you to her heart like the nation has.
Baby Emma is definitely on into me, which is good. Went down the swings and I sort of walked past the pub and I was like, you know what? On a day like this where I'm seeing my family, I don't miss the pubs, to be honest. And then I came home and I walked past a very underwhelming Wetherspoons and I thought, I want to go in there, please.
Now.
I want to go in there now, thank you.
I can understand that. I woke my wife up this morning because I knew the pubs were open today. I knew a few of my friends, and I'm not one of these people because I've got a lot of work to do today, but I knew a few of my friends who have a local and have missed a community of it and you know, we're really looking forward to
it. Are they taking the day off?
A couple of them, because they're working from home anyway, a couple of them, I think, have got no meetings in the afternoon and they've booked themselves into the pub garden, right?
On a Monday.
Yeah, I opened the curtains this morning and woke Mimi up because I saw the snow coming down. Oh, fuck off. So the very day that the pubs were open again, where you could sit in the garden and that's it was actually snowing.
It's been an insane weekend. Like, we started the day sort of driving down through the Peak District and it was snowy. It was just snowing. And then it was sunny, and then it rained.
You didn't drive, did you, Donny? Were you driving?
I didn't drive. No, God, no. That would
be insane.
I'm not allowed on the motorway. I'm not allowed on the M1, Luke. That's number one thing they don't allow you to do as a non-driver.
I thought you'd pass your test now. Are you just still learning?
No, I'm still learning. Well, I've not gone to a single lesson. Again, they won't let me take a test until I've done a lesson.
So you're not even learning? You just got a
not
car?
Not even learning. No, I've got my first lesson on Wednesday.
Lovely!
Called Shamsul, I think his name is.
What are you expecting?
And I'm expecting to get a bloody not high Barnet. Where am I going to? I'm going somewhere that's like 25 minutes away, just to have a lesson. So, like, surely you can drive the car.
They're supposed to come to you, aren't they? They did in my day.
Yeah.
I remember because I used to hide when I wasn't feeling it. Pete, do you at least get to do the lesson in your own car? I guess not.
No, I guess you don't know. You got whatever they've got, to be honest. I hope it's very similar to a Fiat 500, though.
I bet. Amazing, you got there and it was like a fucking Formula One car or something.
It's absolutely.
If you do it in this Dawson, you do it in anything. That's funny.
Yes, that'd be exciting. I'll have to keep you updated as to what Shamsul is teaching me, quite frankly.
I think my very first lesson, I think, involved me being in some kind of very, very quiet car park and. Having to perform just drive around very slowly while the instructor had a car that also had pedals in the footwell of the passenger seat as well.
Yeah. I wonder how much it is to kind of like modify your own car to have extra pedals.
I was thinking
places.
That. Do you reckon that's a decent overhead for a driving instructor?
I think it would be 500 quid maximum. It's all it does is something that clamps down on the original pedal. It's not like it's not anything special, is it?
Probably do it yourself, mate. I think you should do that. I think you should definitely do that yourself.
Just get a 2x4 and just sort of jam your hands into the accelerator or the brake when they're being
Do like get a comedy pair of ropes that you can use with your hands on the passenger seat. Just pull them.
Exactly. You'd see it in America.
You would. Am I to think that you are looking forward to the pubs opening or not? Because you gave me quite a non-committal answer.
Sorry, yeah. I've not got anything booked, so I presume I won't be able to have a pint in a pub because I've not booked anything. And modern life is so very tedious. You have to sort of book yourself in, haven't you? So, no, I've got nothing booked, got nothing planned. What are the changes this week between, like, meeting people and stuff? Are you allowed to go around people's houses? Are you allowed to meet people inside anymore?
You're asking. It's the rule of six still, and I think the pub situation is that it's a confined amount of people, like a small amount of people in the garden only. And I think it's table service, but you do not, repeat, not have to have a substantial meal. Because you remember when Scotch eggs had their time, like late last year? Everyone was talking about Scotch eggs.
Yeah. I remember being in a place and they said, we have to give you some food. Here's some pita bread. And it was just two bits of pita bread on a plate. And they're going, just don't eat it.
That's not substantial for me.
It's been there for hours. Don't eat it. Just leave it there so it looks like you're having a meal, which is exactly how the rule should be bent, in my opinion.
Yeah, they said that when we were in the pub as well. They said, oh, you know, leave a plate of not fully finished food on the table because if we get any inspector come round, then it's all good. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. And I'm a completist as well. I finish everything on my plate, to be quite frank. I'm not.
Are you a life member of the Clean Plate Club? Are you?
I am. Yeah. I don't respect anyone who leaves food on their plate. Again, it's that anxiety thing, isn't it?
isn't it in Japan? Aren't you supposed to leave something on Japan to show that you don't want any more?
Yeah, and they're very big on not wasting food and stuff. It's probably, I don't know what that's about, but...
For people listening, the custom is you leave a tiny morsel on your plate to show that you enjoyed the meal, but you don't want any more, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So did you find that out the hard way?
No, because I accidentally... Because everything's in Japanese, obviously, and I don't speak Japanese, and so I usually end up ordering twice as much food than I actually need.
Fair enough. And Pete, we can't go to a break without talking about the news of a man I know you admire a lot, Prince Philip.
Yes, I'd like to put into the world my deep respect and love. I've got no opinion, so I can't really possibly comment, but it's been a funny few days. The National Rail Inquiry's turning everything to grey.
I mean, that was weird. We can at least agree on that. I mean, that was... Tell people what happened.
Much you love the monarchy, however much you respected a slightly problematic figure in him, I think turning... the National Rail Inquiry's multicoloured web site from loads of different colours that help, you know, people who can't see very well with like colour blindness and stuff like that, into grey out of respect for Prince Philip. It was a swerve. It was a weird one. I realised that I just sort of want to grab all the people and sort of go, look, you don't have to get involved with this. Nobody's going to National Rail Inquiries for news, up-to-date information about the monarchy, or love and respect. Nobody expects the National Rail Inquiry's website to show respect for anything
purely
apart from time and trains.
They can't respect their own transport mode. How are they going to respect it? And the best thing about it was that there was a Twitter conversation which I saw where... they had posted that out of respect for Prince Philip, they were turning all the font to grey. Fine, as you've said. Right. Someone replied saying, I'm partially sighted, I can't use the website, so can you please let me know when it's going to be turned back? Or can I turn it back? Have I got an option? And someone from National Rail just replied saying, nah, you can't turn it back, and I'm not sure when you can. So I'll let you know on Monday. Cheers. Saturday. I'll let you know on Monday. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. All right. Well, I don't need to go and get my vaccine then.
I don't think, you know, whatever your opinion of Prince Philip, if you sat him down and explained to him what had happened there, I don't think he would support it.
No, he wouldn't. He's not a man who suffered fools.
Well, he preferred to drive anyway, as we've seen.
So. To be fair, like, when was that? A year ago? 2 years ago? Like, if I'm flipping cars 2 years before my death... and it's not in the 40s.
Yeah, I was saying, you might be.
Yeah, I might be in about a week's time. But like, if I'm flipping cars within like 5 years of my death at 99, that's a life well lived in many ways, isn't it?
It is, but I think there's a light shade about this. He is doing that, and that was amazing that he was still able to drive. However, he did cause an accident, and two, it was on his own estate. So, I presume, Pete, unless I don't mean to do you a disservice, but if you are a multi-billionaire in your 90s, then fair enough, but I presume you would have been doing it on the public road, which is kind of slightly different. So, I just think it's to me, and I know you feel more strongly about this than I do, and I feel quite strongly about it. Like, you can put the Prince Philip as a character thing aside. I actually think the picture of him is far more nuanced than people have said, but of course the world these days doesn't lend itself to nuance, so I understand that. But ultimately, the weird thing I find is that the British society, I don't even want to say the British public, because it probably isn't even that many of the British public, like, but a certain section of British society seem to want to be mawkish and overly earnest about any time someone who's a public figure dies, and it manifests itself in the most Alan Partridge of ways, and it seems to be happening more and more. And I would have thought, as I got older, I'd have been more in favour of this stuff, but I actually think it's getting worse.
I think it's old hands being in control of new technology, and they don't really know what, like, I didn't need to see a picture, a Photoshop of Captain Tom at the pearly gates.
Why is he involved?
Greeting Prince Philip and asking whether he wants to go for a brandy. I didn't need to see that. And I don't understand how Captain Tom got up the stairs because he's not got wings.
In this situation, no one wins.
In the picture.
No one wins here. There's no one here coming out of this with any credit. You are besmirching the name and the image of two dead people, right?
And God.
Yeah. Why are you getting? Yeah. And the thing is, like on the actual news itself, and I personally felt like it was obviously a bit over the top, but. Ultimately, Pete, and I'm sure I can get agreement from you on this, a man has died, right? A man with a family has died, for better or worse, in a remarkable life. And I thought it was summed up really nicely by the lobbying group. I forget their actual name, but they're a lobbying group to turn Britain into a republic, right? And they're very active on social media. They do a lot of lobbying because their cause, their actual reason, their raison d'etre is to abolish the monarchy. And they posted, to their immense credit, as far as I saw, they posted a tweet... about 8 o'clock in the morning, the day after he died, or a few hours after he died, saying, "A man has died. He has a family. This is not a time for us to be making comment. We wish the family all the best. We send our very best regards to his wife and to the family, and we'll be making no further comment." That's all you've got to do. Yeah. Like, why is everyone piping up?
Especially if you've got a vested interest in the abolishment of the monarchy, so people will be looking to you to have a spicy take on stuff.
Yeah.
And if they can have
or to affirm their
clarity,
shit, basically.
Yeah. And if they've got the clarity of vision and the self respect, I think, to sort of say it's not for today.
Yeah.
Someone's died. I think we've made our position clear about this chap and why they exist and why these people exist. I think we've made that very clear. But, you know, it's not our day, is it? It's not our day. We're not celebrating. I don't need to know what the UK branch of Wimpy has to say about... I'm not saying they did tweet about it. I'm just saying that... We don't need a
ceremonial burger
added to the discourse. And also, I don't need to be told that the way that I'm grieving is wrong, and the way that, like, listen, he's a man with it's people who there's that, and there's people who tweet about people who are complaining about the monarchy. You know what I mean? They're sort of going, like you were saying, a man has died, have some fucking respect, blah blah blah, blah. And you're like, oh well. No one was really disrespecting it until you started having a go. It's just everyone has to have a voice. Everyone has to have a say something about it.
Can we say that if you see that a public figure has died, if your first action is to load up Photoshop, just step away from the computer. Yeah, Captain Sir Tom Moore _ Prince Philip _ Heaven's Pearly Gates .jpg /final, yeah. final.
.png, sans shadows.
The thing is, Pete, they're not even doing PNGs, are they?
No, they're probably not. It's probably going to be JPEGs. It's going to look terrible.
I reckon it's a bitmap half the time.
One of the best things I saw over the weekend wasn't even about Prince Philip. It was a journalist who had been following DMX around, who obviously sadly passed at the weekend. He told a story about, like, 2 hours before he was supposed to be playing at the Mobo Awards, the height of his power, the height of his fame, the height of his performance capabilities. He was in Hyde Park flying like a toy plane. He basically told his driver to have the day off, and then he decided to just drive his driver around London, visiting Hamleys, an Oxford Street-based hobbyist and craft shop, bought himself this nice, fancy remote control plane, drove to Hyde Park like a crazy person, and dressed in full red camouflage, just started flying these little toy planes around Hyde Park.
I rate that.
And he got it, and he smashed one into a tree, got told off by a policeman because post September 11th, we weren't allowed to be flying unmanned drones around Britain, and certainly not in Hyde Park near the seat of power. And then there's just these lovely shots of DMX just in a tree trying to get his plane down.
That's funny,
this was
isn't
2 hours
it?
Before he was playing at the mobile.
That's
he
funny.
Just couldn't give a shit. And those are the stories that I like. Those are the ones that are just like, oh, good, I'm glad he had a lovely day.
You know, it also spawned a story, and this is cuts to the very core of what we were talking about a second ago about modern society. There's a story doing the rounds over the weekend that Jay-Z is going to buy the DMX masters from whichever person owns them or label owns them, and he's going to make sure that they're delivered to DMX's children. So the legacy is that obviously he started quite young, no opportunity to earn any more money for his family, so that his family are basically entitled, get what they're entitled to, but because I don't think he had rights to his master, to the masters. And it was going to cost like $10 million, which I understand to like Jay-Z and Beyonce is probably not that much money, but anyway, it's a big gesture, it's an amazing thing. And then the first thing I thought, because I'm a victim of modern society, is I don't know if that's true or not. And so, because Pete, there are an absolute selection of complete weirdos who will make up really good feel good stories that aren't true. Why would you do that?
No. Yeah, why would you ruin my day?
That's worse than the other stuff, really, in a way, because you're delivering false hope.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's awful. I hope that's true.
I
hope that's not absolute bullshit.
I do as well. And on that note, we should take the ad break off before we come back delivering more false hope in the shape of listener emails. So we'll do that in a minute. Stick around.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join us on the Football Ramble as we explore the ridiculous world of football. We bring in-depth analysis of the biggest moments, like Bruno Fernandes' one-eyed penalties.
Sounds like a Metallica song.
Yeah, it does.
Obviously, like, one eye open.
But if you have one eye closed, you know your perception. So imagine if you tried the dink and it just like went like 2 feet in front of him.
Every weekday, we cover the good, the bad, and the Newcastle.
Although Shelby wasn't surprised either. He said the way they play isn't great.
And you couldn't fucking beat him, could you?
Could Shelby be the mole?
Didn't Bruce accuse the mole of treason?
To the Geordie Nation.
Yeah.
Putting the football world to rights.
If you want to put a message on a T-shirt under your shirt, slag it off your mind.
Yeah.
That is an absolute minefield in the dressing room.
Don't worry, lads, I'll put it in another language. Do you know how many languages that man speaks?
Not with Roy. I won't wash with Roy.
We're here with the biggest stories from the sport we love, and we want you to get involved too. Search the Football Ramble on your favourite podcast player to listen now.
This was a Stakhanov production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's Monday. Pete and Luke with you. And if you want to get to the show, it is, as always, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com on the email, at lukeandpeteshow on Twitter, and at lukeandpeteshow on the Instagram. Luke, do you want to kick us off with your favourite email of the week, or second or third?
No, it's not the favourite, but it's made it in. And I think Craig Clark should be very pleased with himself for doing so. I mean, I'm not going to lie to the guy. I'm not going to say it's my favourite email of the week.
No.
But what he should cling to, Pete, is that it's been good enough to be read out. So I don't think he should ask for any more than that from us, because I think that would be unfair. So Craig Clark says, I've got a life hack that might be of some interest to Luke. I worked in restaurants as a cook for over 10 years. And one thing that many chefs told me that was that when cutting onions and beginning to get teary-eyed, you should stick your head in the freezer. From my experience, it worked, although it might have been more that you were just out of the onion's fumes, basically. This life hack has spread to my family, and still to this day, I will come into the kitchen while my wife is cooking, and she will be standing with her head in the freezer after cutting some rather potent onions. Love the show. All the best, Craig Clark. Now, for those who don't listen to the Football Ramble, one of the catchphrases we say on the show is fire in the belly, head in the freezer. So this is where Craig's emails come from. I described this email in my notes as, this is a hack to stop you crying while chopping onions, but there's a bit of a catch, i.e. you're not realistically going to put your head in the freezer. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But despite what Craig says about his wife, I thought he meant you could just walk into a walk-in freezer and carry on chopping your onions because you've got an industrial size one at a restaurant, right?
Right, okay, yeah. But then you're making all of the food in the freezer smell like onions, which isn't ideal. You cannot have that. There's a reason why there is a little air hole in those kind of like cross country trucks to air them out after different foods have been in them. Onions are very pungent.
What are you talking about, a cross country truck?
You know, like those trucks that like take food across country.
Right.
It's like a little cat. Like, so you have like the main doors, and then you've got little doors in the main doors. And there's one at the back of the truck and one at the front, and when the truck moves, it airs out whatever's been in before. So say you've had a lot of onions.
I didn't even know that. So they did it on the way back when they're empty again.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Air it out effectively. Yeah, no, it is a good idea. And for ages, like, people just didn't really know what.
Is that common knowledge?
Why there was little. I think so. Yeah, there was a piece about it. It reminded me about it like quite recently. There was a piece about it in some kind of website, probably Jalopnik or something.
Right, I'd never heard of that before, and I think you've probably imparted quite a good bit of wisdom onto our listenership there.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, I suppose, because if you've got a stinky load followed by, I don't know, your carton out a load of chickens or something, the chickens don't want to be smelling of onions, do they?
When they're being driven to their death.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So I think what I'd like to know from Craig is if it works when you chop the onions, so you take the chopping board and the onions into a walk-in freezer and chop them in the freezer. Is that going to work? The other person got in touch and said to me, one person got in touch with me once and said to me, if you chop them underwater, it works. It's like, well, yeah, obviously it fucking works, but who wants to be chopping onions underwater? That's mental. You wash all the flavour away.
Yeah, but what if it probably won't, but I think all of the water, what if the water suddenly turned red? You'd be like, oh, I've cut my bloody finger. You wouldn't be able to see properly.
Or it's a red onion.
Or it's a red onion. Yeah. I mean, I think probably it helps because it helps undilate all of the like the eye holes and stuff. I guess when it's warm, everything kind of opens up. The pores open up. Your eyes open up a bit. But when it's colder, everything kind of like gets a bit smaller. Hello to, who have we got here? Matt in Lincolnshire. Hello, Matt. Morning, the Luke and the Pete. Following on from Pilot Dave's comments on frozen aircraft fuel in the RAF, we combat this by mixing the aviation fuel with antifreeze, which prevents the fuel freezing when operating at extreme temperatures. We have to routinely test this mix to ensure it stays within parameters. Interestingly, our US cousins use a slightly different variant of fuel, which means when our RAF aircraft are refueled by US tankers upon landing, we generally need to remix the fuel so it passes our own tests. Boring, but I thought it was worth chucking in my two pence worth. I think last week we were talking about frozen fuel. Yeah. I find it fascinating that there are different kind of like recipes for fuel as you go around the world. I bet like in America they use sugar. And down in Mexico, they use like corn syrup.
What I find fascinating about it, and Matt says it's boring, even though he emailed it in, so good for him. But, I mean, what I find fascinating about it is if I was left to my own devices to do something like this, my brain would tell me straight away, the first thing you don't want to be doing is putting anything in the fuel. Do you know what I mean? Leave the fuel alone. Okay. That should be sacrosanct. You should be saying. You should be putting stuff in the fuel, because who knows what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, fuel's already a distillate, isn't it? A fuel's already like a
I don't know.
Stuff.
I don't know what it is.
And I don't think you know either. Peter.
Yeah, I could tell you. I presume it comes from some sort of derivative of, you know, crude oil or whatever that has to be refined and then changed.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm the one to be messing with the recipe, is what I'm saying.
No. Like, you're not like dipping your little finger in and going.
No,
I think more flour.
When you said sugar in the fuel, it reminded me of the scene in Kingpin where Bill Murray's character Uncle Ernie McCracken puts the sugar in Woody Harrelson, Roy Munson's gas tank to purposely break his car, so they have to ride together and do a scam together. So sugar in the gas tank's not very good for you, I don't think. You shouldn't be doing
sugar
that.
Sugar in the Gas Tank is a classic. I think it was a song, Sugar in the Gas Tank, by somebody.
Oh, by a band you like. Well, that's almost certainly a Newfound Glory song or something.
Might be Lagwagon. Never mind.
Real Big Fish.
Yeah, oh, so I was playing Real Big Fish to Andy Brassel before a Ramble recording last week, and he was nodding along.
It's not cool enough for him, is it?
Hip-hop. Nodding along.
You know what Marcus is like? Marcus mentioned Coldplay to Andy. Just literally said the word Coldplay last Friday. Mm. And Andy's nose turned up in a way I've never seen it before. Like, he's so genial, so lovely all the time. You just say the word Coldplay, he looks like he wants to commit murders.
He's like one of those little red cellophane fish. He just rolls up into a ball.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Oh, gross.
It's immensely triggering for him to mention any kind of easy listening. Because I remember the first time I met Andy, I went around his house. Or the first time I went around his house, sorry, and he had like decks set up with like some quite heavy drum and bass on the turntables.
All right, okay,
yeah,
nice.
So he's that kind
I like
of guy.
It.
Anyway, let's get out of here, Peter.
Anyway, all right then, let's do it. I've been Pete Donaldson. He's been Luke Mill. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this chod. If you want to get to the show, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com, and you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Just do a search. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm not your dad. See you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.